that your time is running out. The axe is being lined up at the root of your tree. And one of these days, you will fall, like so many Christians have fallen. Their time has just run out. And don't think that you have to wait to the day of judgment. Your time can well run out even now, in this present time, as it ran out for Israel. They didn't have to wait for the final judgment. They got cut down long before the final judgment. I have seen Christians cut down because they are wasting the soil on which they stand. They hinder other people. And God is going to deal with this at some time or other. Bear always in mind, there is a limit to the time of grace. God's perfect grace, perfect patience is truly perfect, but there will be a limit. That is scriptural teaching, not my teaching. You see that also in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 15, for example. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, for example. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16, for example, and so on and so forth. That's when a person has been often reproved, often reminded, often warned, often exhorted, and does not listen, he will be suddenly cut off, and that without remedy. Don't think that you are okay until the day of judgment. That is another fallacy. Many have fallen long before that time. But now then, let us examine this attitude, which always regards it as desirable just to take in. They seem, for example, to think of the church as a place to absorb spiritual riches, but to give nothing. That having taken in, they just disappear as quickly as possible. After all, they got what they wanted. What else do they want? And off to go. It's not that there's any desire to minister, to give out of that which they have received. Now there, I would like to stop for a few moments as before we close to ponder this point. The Lord has a teaching in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. The Lord's words are quoted by the Apostle Paul, in which he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now the great problem with this fig tree is that it never learned this lesson. It never had a change of attitude. It thought it was more blessed to receive than to give. And so it gave nothing. It just came and soaked in. But the Apostle Paul quotes in Acts chapter 20, the Lord's words, chapter 20 and verse 35, "These words of the Lord Jesus do not appear in the Gospels, but are known to the Apostle Paul," and he quotes these words here, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's try to analyze this thought for a moment, and then compare whether that's your thinking or not, whether that's my thinking or not. And I can guarantee you that that is simply not the thinking in the church today. And the church, brothers and sisters, is in big trouble. This parable is directed to Israel. This parable is directed to the new Israel as well. Because we are told in 1 Corinthians 10 that what was said to Israel of old, all the things that happened to Israel of old, is a warning to the church today. That what happened to them can and will happen to us. What is more, the Apostle Paul reminds us of exactly that very thing in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. He said, indeed, Israel got cut down. But he said to us Christians in Romans 11 verse 22, that unless you remain in the goodness of God and in His kindness and persevere in His kindness, you also will be cut off. Now today the church doesn't want to listen to this. They don't want to hear this. Just like Israel of old didn't want to hear that. They were annoyed at the prophets of God like Jeremiah who told them this. Today they don't want to hear this too. And those of us who warn the church of that are being constantly maligned and attacked. That's all right. I am here to please God, not to please men. I am here to preach His word and not to preach the words of men. God says this, and I have to say it. Paul warns us. They got cut off, it's true. And you also will be cut off unless you abide in His kindness and you stand fast in faith. Now, this is the mentality we are brought up in. I remember I was brought up in the mentality as a Christian that every time I got something for nothing, I thought, how God has blessed me. I find this mentality among Christians so common today. We regard ourselves as blessed because somebody gave us something for which we didn't have to pay. That's God's blessing to us. So if you got suddenly out of the blue a salary increase, that's God's blessing. If somebody gave you a nice jacket or a nice pullover, that's God's blessing. Well, sure, these are God's blessings. You know, it's that no one is denying that. That is God's blessing. But if we stop there, we are going to be in disaster. Because then we develop a mentality that God's blessing means only that I receive. That's blessing. But when I give, that's not blessing. Now, if we understood the Lord's teaching, it's in fact the other way around. The person who gave you the jacket, or the person who gave you the money in your need, the person who gave you the pullover or whatever, is more blessed than you are. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That person gets more blessing from God than you do. How we need to change our thinking. So next time when you receive a gift of money, thank God for it. But remember this, that person who gave it to you is more blessed than you are before God. That person is more blessed. So it is blessed to receive. It is a blessing to receive. But it is even a greater blessing to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the Lord says. Now that is a mentality that is completely contrary to our natural thinking. And that is a thinking that this fig tree, if I may put the picture on there, simply never learned. It thought it's a blessing to soak up the riches, to grab, to get, and never to give. And there are so many Christians just like that today. Have you ever felt, for example, that when you put the money into the offering, you thought, ha, that is $10 I will never see again. But when you go to the shop and you put in $10, well, you got something for it. I mean, you received something for it. You got maybe a pair of gloves or a scarf or whatever it is you bought for $10. You got something to look at for your $10. When you put money into the offering box, you got nothing for the $10. Nothing. And if you give it to a brother and sister in need, what did you get for $10? You got nothing. And so we think, well, it's more blessed to receive than to give. What a mistake. What a mistake. Let us learn to transform our thinking. Let us let God change our hearts and our thinking. Otherwise, we are going to end up like this fig tree, and we are going to be in trouble. Now, why is it more blessed to give than to receive? More blessed means God blesses you more. That's what it means. It is more blessed because God will give you more blessing. Now, when you receive a gift, that is a blessing. But you have already received your blessing. The person who gives it is only then going to receive his blessing from God. Now, when you receive, say, a jacket, you receive the material blessing. The person who gave you the jacket lost the jacket, but he got spiritual blessing. Do you understand the logic of that? It's more blessed to give than to receive because it is more pleasing to God. That's the first point. It is more pleasing to God. And it is more pleasing to God because it expresses faith and love. Faith and love. Why does it express faith, first of all? Well, it expresses faith because the person who gives for the Lord's sake is not looking for a material gain. Now, you must have faith in order to do that. The person who puts, let us say, $10 in the offering box, if he puts it in because of the love of God and not just out of some sense of duty alone, he puts it in, he knows he will not get any material benefit from this $10. So why does he put it in? Unless he has faith. Unless he has faith, he will not put it in. But he puts it in because he looks for spiritual blessing in return, not material blessing. That is why I thank God for those people. I know their faith. from this very fact, that they don't look for any human return. You remember when we were at the old church, how wonderfully also God did amazing things. At one time we had somebody throw in somewhere flying in through the door, simply with the name of the church on it, a gift of $300. And the next time the envelope flew in with $400. And we have never been able to trace who was the giver. And another time the envelope arrived in the church and flew in through the door somehow again with $700. Who is this person who would give $700 and a total of well over $1,000, nearly $1,500, not even wanting to be recognized as to who he is or who she is? I don't know who. But giving it, why? This person does that by doing this anonymously. He will not even get a word of thank you, because we don't even know who the person is. But a person like that expresses his faith or her faith in the Lord, because this person is looking for reward from God. That is faith. Not looking for reward from men. No one without faith can do such a thing. You remember another time we were sitting at Bible study and somebody banged on the door, and I went to the door and opened it, and I looked up and down the street and I couldn't see anybody. There's no one to be seen. And there stood outside this gift of the cassette recorder that is recording right to this day the messages, this stereo cassette recorder that we are using to this day. That came in as a gift. That recorder costs $200-$300. And there were earphones and everything provided with the cassette recorder. Who did this? We don't know. But this person who gave this recorder to the church was concerned that God's word may be recorded and bring blessing to others. But was not looking for any recognition or any reward. We don't know who the person is. That is the expression of faith. They look for their reward from God, not from men. They don't want any reward from men. And it expresses love, because as you can see, the person who bought this recorder, for example, was thinking about the blessing that will come to others through God's word. What does he get from that? Nothing. But he expresses his love and concern that others can receive God's life-giving word. That's love. A love that does not seek any praise from men, that does not look for recognition, that does not look for rewards. That is the expression of faith and love. Now, it follows then that the reverse, the person who seeks to receive rather than to give, has neither faith nor love. That is precisely the condition of this fig tree being expressed. It soaks in nourishment and gives nothing. It has neither faith nor love. But the person who gives and regards it as more blessed to give than to receive, can you see now, expresses both faith and love. Therefore, it is saved. It is saved through faith that works by love. You see that the whole doctrine of salvation is found even in this verse, in this parable. It is so beautiful, God's parables, the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And so on this point, I would like to close for today. I would like you and me to examine our thinking. How do we feel about this thing? I thank God for many of you in this church, because I know that you have faith and love. And I know it by the way that you give. Now, I may not know who gives and who gives how much, and I'm not interested to know that. That these matters the treasurer deals with. I don't deal with this kind of thing. But I know when I look at the figures that there are many people in this church who give and give sacrificially. And I thank God for them, because it expresses their faith and their love. They don't look for material gain. They look for that reward that comes from God. They are like Abraham, who seek not a city in this world, but a city that has foundations, that abides forever, namely the New Jerusalem. They look for the kingdom of God. Now, many of us, though, I find, still need to learn ever more deeply this faith and this love of learning to pour out ourselves, not only in terms of money, but in terms of our time, of our energy, of our concern, the way that we think more about others than about ourselves. That is so fundamental. I pray to God that we may change in this way, that God may have the fruit in our lives and so be well pleased. You see, fruit, when you think of this fig tree, the fruit that comes from the fig tree is eaten by whom? By the fig tree? No, the fig tree doesn't eat its own fruit. The fig tree only gives the fruit away, it gets nothing. It soaks up the nourishment indeed in order to produce fruit that will be the joy of others, that nourishes other people, that brings glory to God, for which people give thanks to God for this delicious fruit. You know, sometimes when I eat the fruit and it tastes so delicious, my heart just filled with thanksgiving to God. I said, Lord, how come you created something so delicious? during the summer, there are those delicious peaches, you remember? Oh, so juicy. And it's so delicious, indescribably delicious. And it really causes you to worship God. I often say, Lord, there's no cook in the world that can produce something as delicious as this. It is just so good. Your creation, your design, that you made these fruits for our enjoyment and our nourishment. I mean, we could eat things which are pretty tasteless and they still nourish us. But God has such love for us that not only He gives us the good nourishment, but He makes it so delicious on top of that. Oh, that is so good. And so in the same way, we should produce the fruit, not only as enough to cram down somebody's throat and might just about keep them alive, but may the fruit be fragrant and delicious and beautiful. Look at a peach. Color is beautiful. The form is beautiful. The smell is beautiful. The taste is beautiful. What else can you ask? Everything that God does is so wonderful. Well, some Christians just about keep going and just about manage to survive. And they produce something or other, whatever it is, if you can call it fruit, that might be not all that good tasting, but if you eat it, you might just about keep alive. Which makes me think of some forms of preaching. But how much more wonderful if that fruit is delicious and tasteful. Oh, may God make us beautiful, that others may be blessed, our own hearts rejoice, and above all, God is glorified. I really would like you to ponder these words in Acts 20 and 35, because there is the key to this parable. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we don't learn this lesson very quickly, but may God transform us that we may learn this wonderful lesson. Then we will go forth and become a channel of God's grace in this world. Then will come the day when people will say, I thank God for the day I met you. It was such a blessing to meet you, to know you, because through you I tasted the good fruits of God's mercy. Through you I received the fruits of life. You became a tree of life to me that sustained me when I was famished, when I was dying of hunger. You nourished me, and you will say, I am nothing but what I am by the grace of God. Nothing that I have that I didn't receive. I received this and I passed it on to you in the form of fruits, and all that is God's grace. Would that this whole church become a church that is a vineyard of God, full of these luscious fig trees that bring forth delicious fruit. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.